can do, and we just got to catch the vision, don't we?
Yes, we do. All right, we do. I appreciate you having me, Chuck. Thank you.
All right, Jason. Bless you. And friends, get a copy of the book. Your gift of $10 or more to Save America Ministries will help you to lead your families in the ways of the Lord. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Don't neglect this grace that is to lead your family in worship in a Christian home.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Christmeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Jerry Dominguez. And Jerry, of course, has been with the educational system for some time. But he's written a book about what's really going on today, and he's been going to be speaking here in Santa Cruz, or he did speak here in Santa Cruz recently. Santa Cruz is a sort of hotbed of liberalism in the United States. Jerry, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Why don't you just pick up the story, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, about your background, and why you are so concerned about what's happening.
Absolutely. I'm a retired social worker and a licensed clinician, and I had worked for arguably the world's largest child protective service agency on the planet, Los Angeles County Department of Children and Family Services. I recently published a book called A Culture of Fear, an inside look at L.A. County's Department of Children and Family Services. I felt compelled to write a book with my co-author, Melinda Murphy, because of all the systemic deficiencies, failures, and obstacles that we encountered in trying to help families in our communities. In fact, we experienced personally so many situations where families were absolutely devastated and where children were being removed without just cause. And we had seen the pain and anguish in one too many families, and we just decided we needed to write a book. We needed to get the message out that we need serious reform within our CPS agency and profession.
And basically, of course, what you're doing, you're speaking now really of the welfare system and what it's doing to our children?
Absolutely. The child protective service agencies and system that we have in every jurisdiction have some serious flaws. We have a situation currently where it's possible to have a child removed and even adopted out without just cause. When you begin to peel back the layers of how the system works, it's quite possible for someone to get a knock on the door about 11 o'clock, to have a stranger, a social worker, knock on the door and say, you know what, we have a report that has some concerns and some issues about you and child safety, and we're so concerned that I think we're going to need to temporarily take your child or children, and then you can come to a hearing in 72 hours. Well, as incredible as that sounds, that actually happens often, and it happens not only in California, but it happens around the country, and we're seeing more and more instances where kids are being removed without just cause, simply because of concerns or speculation on the part of one or two individuals. And the courts are not demanding the kind of proof and evidence that they should demand to make sure that before we take this step, that there really is a real issue of abuse and neglect.
Well, basically, of course, certainly, doesn't this do irreparable harm, at least in some instances, to these children who are taken out of the protective custody and put into a foster environment? I mean, can't this do actual harm to a child, far more harm than it does good?
And that's the important point, Dr. Stan. As a licensed clinician myself, I've seen the devastation. I've seen the clinical issues that come up after children are removed. It's not uncommon for children to develop depression, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Jerry Dominguez.
Global labor is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Jerry is simply saying that many of the reports that are basically submitted to justify taking children out of their homes are totally fallacious, because they're written by people who do not know anything. They're so-called ghost reports, and they sort of made up reports to justify intervening. Now, basically, why in heaven's name is social welfare so intent upon intervening? Is there a profit motive in this? Is it there some way by which the government agencies make a great deal of money by taking children out of protected custody of their parents and putting them into the homes of strangers?
I think we really have to explore the possibility of a monetary incentive. I know that the funding streams for agencies have to do with the children that they remove from parents, and it also has to do with the children they adopt out. I know that if they adopt children out of foster homes, that they receive so much money per child, and if they exceed a certain quota, they can actually receive a bonus of up to $3,000 to $4,000 a child if they have special needs. That could be as much as $6,000.
In other words, basically what this is a reward system for people, for government officials who steal children away from their parents because there is a financial incentive to do it. Would that be a fair analysis?
I think it's worth exploring, and I think we need to look into that because it's incredible the way children are being removed and how the courts are not demanding the kind of proof and evidence that we should when we're talking about the removal of a child from their family and home.
All right, well, now how common is this happening? I mean, is this an occasional situation? Is this something that is really very, very common?
It's extremely common, especially the ghost authoring. The agencies essentially use social workers as human shields. The ones that make decisions are in the shadows and do not have to sign the report, or they do not have to appear in court to represent the report. They send the social worker and tell the social worker, you know what, I know you're not completely comfortable, but it's okay. We speak with one voice and you represent the department. What they don't tell the social worker is that legally, because they have signed it as the author of the report, that they will be held accountable legally. So these social workers dread the thought of having to go into court because they know they're not allowed to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And if they step out of line and disagree with the position taken by the ghost authors, they'll be threatened with insubordination and their jobs will be threatened.
Well, Jerry, I've been out doing what I do for about 50 years, and I'm certain I can remember instances of this happening 30 years ago. This is nothing new. This has been plaguing certainly many of our families. Of course, usually it's the lower-income families that are not in a position to get adequate legal advice or legal counsel that this happens to, and it can simply devastate the family. Sydney, this has been going on for a good long while. This is nothing new, really, is it?
No, it has been going on, but we're seeing it in more and more jurisdictions around the country. And the book that I mentioned earlier is the first book in the history of my agency, because everybody's been afraid of retaliation and been afraid to speak up. It is the hope of myself and my co-author that now that we have a book out, maybe we can generate the kind of attention to this issue so we can avoid the devastation that a lot of our families are experiencing and even spark potential legislation to make sure that the court, as well as the agencies, are really abiding by the law and making sure that if we do use what should be the measure of last resort, that we have ample evidence to make sure that it's warranted and justified.
But my understanding, you know, is that many of the fat parents that this has happened to are told, you know, don't waste a lot of money because once this thing gets into court, you don't stand a chance, you know. Try to fight it before it gets into court. But once it gets into court, it's slam dunk. They're going to take your kids away whether you want it or not. And this has even happened to people I personally known who are responsible people. And yet they've taken their children away, they've devastated their families. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a very real problem. We have real problems in America. And this is one of them that's there. We just haven't talked about it for a long time. But it's growing. And basically, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Jerry Dominguez. He's been on the front lines of this battle. And the only reason he's written a book is because he's retiring. He wants to do something. And he wants to bring this out so that the average individual will understand what's happening to this unfortunate and tragic, significant component of our societies and the irreparable damage, the irreparable harm that is done. And I think in many instances, intentionally, because there's a profit motive to Sydney, these unfortunate children. But you go right ahead, Jerry.
You know, Dr. Stan, it's ironic and a very tragic and sad irony that because this is happening more and more, and our communities are learning to distrust CPS, we're actually making our communities and children more in danger. We are increasing the risk because we are demonstrating to our communities that they can't trust the system. So when kids actually do need the help and support, when they do need a functional CPS agency available, they've learned to distrust the situation so much and the agency so much that they're not going to call in when they need to call in, when kids are being harmed and abused. So we've put our kids at more risk because these practices have been allowed to go on for so long.
Well, we have Jamie calling us from Santa Cruz in California. Our telephone number is 1-888-1-888-24-Liberty or 464-8295. You have a question or comment. Hi, Jamie. Do you have a question or comment on this subject?
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
He certainly can.
Can you hear me?
Right. Go right ahead.
Yes. I'm a licensed therapist also, and I worked for 20 years in county mental health in Butte County up north and around the Chico area. And I had extensive experience with CPS, and about half my cases of the youth and families were CPS cases. And I wanted to both agree with this author in some ways, and I can be fairly specific about some problems. And in addition to that, I would like to say that some of the people from whom these children were removed, you would really not want the children to be there anymore. So part of the problem is, let's suppose, just for the sake of discussion, that two-thirds of the parents have either done something very wrong, they've sexually molested,
But basically, can you make that assumption? Don't you think that the people deserve a right to a fair trial, and they're not going to get a fair trial on this situation? If you've been to those CPS courses, you know that they do not get a fair trial.
Well, that is not my impression, that all of them don't get a fair trial. I think that kind of blanket statement would be incorrect.
I see. Well, I've been told this by social workers who say, you know, you just can't. When it gets into court, forget it, you're lost. But go right ahead. Let's get your view, Jamie. You put your view out, and then we appreciate it. Go right ahead.
I also am law trained, so if I had attended every trial, I would have my own view of whether the trials are fair. All I can say at this point is that in my estimation, in two-thirds of the cases where I saw the children removed, at least temporarily, it was fully justified and the meanness and violence was quite real. Some of them, where it was long-term sexual molest and so forth, there's no doubt about whether they should have been removed or should have been removed permanently unless the person was going to leave, the parent. Now, that leaves, in my view, and I could be wrong about the numbers, but that leaves a third of the cases. The other third of the cases really do have significant problems in them, even before they get to court. I mean, they have to get to some court within a judge, I think within 24 to 48 hours, or an initial hold. It's very much like a 5150 when you hold someone who's a medic who's mentally ill. It goes into a system. They have to be checked. It goes into for a while in order for it to stay out longer. It has to go back to court. I mean, they spend a lot of time going back and forth to court. Now, if we said that a third of them were questionable, I agree with the author that some of them were not only questionable, but were horribly wrong. And I will say that although I thought it was in the very minority of cases, I had acquaintance with two social workers, for instance, who I thought were basically crazy. That they did not have a master's degree. Unfortunately, most of them not, even though they're called social workers. That's a misnomer, really, because if you technically know what a social worker is, a person with a master's degree. But in any event, these two people that I had acquaintance with were making statements about the families that were simply incorrect. They were writing down statements that were incorrect. They were very manipulative. They were narcissistic, and they were just acting like they knew everything. And it simply was not true. And they were people that I hated to deal with and tried to avoid if I possibly could. Now, that's an example who doesn't get to just the point that the author was making about the actual legal trial. But what I'm saying, and I'm agreeing with him, that in some cases, at least in the case of these two social workers, the information flowing to the court would have been incorrect or manipulated or misstated or whatever, in which case I agree that poor uneducated folks who are poor, who don't know much about how to represent themselves, would not have prevailed in most courts. Now, the difficulty is sorting out which is the good. I mean, CPS has been criticized for this, as you were saying, sir, for a long time. So they know that some of their cases, even the bosses I've talked to in CPS, admit that some of the time they're wrong. The problem is, if you throw out a net to get tuna, you get other fish. So if you throw out a net to get the children who should get out of the home, you get some that shouldn't go out of the home.
And is there a financial reward for the Department of Social Service for taking children out of homes?
That varies with the jurisdiction. I believe that there are some fairly modest.
Okay, we're going to a break. We're going to a break. I really want to thank you so much for calling, Jerry. Bob, Jamie, but at least in my understanding, there is a financial reward, certainly a sizable amount of money.
It doesn't go to people personally.
Oh, no, it goes to the department. It goes to the department. The agency gets the money, not the people. But of course, that doesn't do any harm. But thank you so very much for calling, Jamie. How would you respond to what Jamie was saying, Jerry?
I wanted to say to my colleague that I do appreciate that, obviously, some kids are being abused and neglected, and we most certainly...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. If you're out there, give us a call.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy Aging Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Jerry Dominguez. He's written a book on this. We'll tell you a little later how to get this. But this is a very important issue. We haven't covered it in many years, and yet it needs to be covered. Now, basically, of course, we had a caller, Jamie, called in, a social worker. And basically, he says of maybe a third of the cases, of course, they're not justified, but two-thirds of them are. And, of course, according to Jerry, why the vast majority are certainly not justified. In other words, it's at least a majority. So for whatever reason, Jamie takes one position and suddenly Jerry takes the other. The interesting thing is when I brought up the fact that there's a financial incentive certainly to the departments, to the social welfare departments, because many of them can make, I've heard as high as $20,000 to $25,000 for every child they can disrupt and take out of their families. Well, of course, Jamie's description was, but the individual doesn't get that. It goes to the department. Ladies and gentlemen, the department wants the money. And suddenly it doesn't matter whether it goes to the individual or it goes to the department. It gives into this whole corrupt system an excuse for existing. What are your thoughts on that, Jerry? Is that a legitimate criticism on my part?
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And we need to really look into the whole monetary incentive. And there is certainly corruption in the department. I had a case where I had an administrator actually erase 2.5 pages of my report simply because it disagreed with her personal position. And what I wrote in the report was absolutely based on the truth, and it was verifiable, and it was factual. But simply because it disagreed with the administrator's position, she took it upon herself and actually erased an entire section of the report and submitted it to court without signatures. These are the kind of things that are going on, and there's simply no transparency or no accountability when it comes to the facts and the truth. And this is a real serious issue, and it's a widespread issue.
Well, now, basically, what amount of money are we talking about? I mentioned that years ago we did a number of programs on this subject, and some of the amounts of money that was given to the departments were a sizable amount. What would be the average income reward, let's say, given to the department for seizing a child and putting them into foster care? Are we talking about $1,000 or $2,000? Are we talking about $5,000, $10,000? What are we talking about?
Oh, regarding the amount of money that goes into a situation when the child is removed, I know that we will provide upwards of $500 to $700 a child based on their age. If they have mental health issues, a foster parent can receive as much as $1,300 a month. And if we happen to adopt a child out, the agency in the state provides funding. And if we adopt over a certain number of kids, they receive additional funding as much as $3,000 to $4,000 a child. And if we adopt out a special needs child and we go over our quota, they can receive as much as $6,000 a child. So I know in many instances when we were working with a family, adoption workers were told and pressured into recommending adoption and not really talking about the other option of legal guardianship, which left the window open for a parent to come back if they were able to resolve their issue.
In other words, we're going to break up that family permanently if we can. Is that it?
Absolutely. I know one social worker that was pressured into denying that a parent and child had a bonded relationship so that the adoption would go through smoothly, even though the parent and child did, in fact, have a bonded relationship. Well, that parent never saw that child again.
And basically, I think this is, in my estimation, is criminal. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment on this subject, but basically, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing the breakdown of the home and the family here in America. We're seeing the breakdown in morality. We're seeing the total breakdown in the structure of our society. We're seeing increasing crime and violence, and much of the crime and violence comes from children who've been distributed from unstable homes. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We need to really focus on the stability in the home. And the very agency that's tasked with the responsibility to make sure kids are safe and the families are stable, we are failing because the system is so seriously broken and flawed. And we don't seem to be willing to do what we need to really reform it. And it needs serious reform, and we can't afford to wait.
And this has been putting off for a long time, ladies and gentlemen. I can remember, decades ago, going through much of the same material. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. If you agree or you disagree, why give us a call? I said, Jerry and Jamie disagree. Jerry thinks this is much more prevalent. I said, perhaps in the majority of cases. Jamie thinks it's quite rare, maybe in a third of the cases. We'll be back. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
Miracle Two products are now being used by thousands of ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle Two, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle Two products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle Two and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Back here. Well, the this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney Jerry, and Sydney agrees that once these cases get into court, why, you can pretty well write them off. Jerry works with a lawyer who's been fighting this thing for 30 years, and even Sydney, this very well-trained lawyer who takes a lot of these cases with very little compensation, can only, once it gets into court, only about 15% of them will ever suddenly go against the government. The government stacks this, and basically these children are victims of a social welfare system. Yes, we do need people to help. And there may be instances, and there are certainly instances of child neglect and child not being taken well care of. But we need to have a legal system that works, not the one that certainly where you do not stand a chance when you get into court. And if you have the money, you can have a lawyer. And if you don't have the money, you're going to lose your child. And we'd have disrupted so many homes. Why do you think the very structure of the family in America is breaking down? Why do you think the very structure of our society is breaking down? Because you destroy the family, you destroy that, and we're doing everything we can with our education. Certainly what's going on in our churches, everything is undermining the very fabric of our society. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Are you aware of this problem? But do you think it's a problem? Jamie doesn't think it's a problem. Jerry does, and I agree with Jerry because I've studied this in the past. But anyway, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. Jerry, how can people get copies of your book, and why should they get copies of your book?
Well, first of all, they can get copies at Barnes & Noble or Amazon, and the author's name will be Julian J. Dominguez, or Melinda Murphy, A Culture of Fear, An Inside Look at Los Angeles County's Department of Children and Family Services. And the reason they would get the book if they choose to do that is because they care about the children in our communities, the families, and they care about justice. They care about making sure that we treat our communities and our families with the kind of justice that we would want. Even if this hasn't happened to them personally, we all know families in our community. We all have nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters. This can happen to any person. I've seen this happen to individuals that never thought in a million years that they would get that knock on the door. So because of how the system is, it's possible for this to happen to anybody. We all need to make sure that our CPS agencies are doing the job of protecting children, but not doing the job of harming children. Because the devastation, once it happens, it is almost impossible to repair.
And basically, I think I would certainly add is that we should take away the financial incentive that is given to these government agencies to disrupt families. There is a financial incentive on the part of government agencies, and it ties into their salaries and their bonuses, how many families you can disrupt. And that is wrong. Now, basically, of course, we did have the earlier caller, Jamie. Jamie came from Northern California. Jerry comes from Southern California. Is it possible that the situation is quite different in Northern California, where Jamie was and where he practiced as a social worker? And is Southern California where you are? Would you think that could explain why he says that this would occur maybe in one-third of the cases? Well, you think it occurs in the majority of cases?
I have heard from many family members that actually live in Northern California and throughout the country. And I recently did a tour of Santa Cruz at the request of families that live there because they were experiencing this very issue. So having spent 7 days there just a few days ago, I spoke to many family members that were dealing with this very issue. A couple situations where relatives are being denied placement of a child that couldn't be with their parents, and by somehow they were considered unhealthy or inappropriate, even though it was clear that was not the case. So we're seeing this situation more widespread than people are aware of or would like to think it is. And I appreciate my colleague talking about the kids that need to be removed, because we certainly do have those kids. But the ones that don't need to be removed, it's hard to believe that. It's hard to understand that. unless you've worked in the system, you've been in the courtroom, and you've seen what takes place, and you see how it takes place. I think if my colleague had that experience, he may understand a little bit more of how often this happens and how egregious and how incredible it is when it does take place, because it seems almost unfathomable that we would actually remove a child based on speculation and concern and inferences that are drawn, as opposed to the actual facts and truth, but it does take place.
But the fact that you would actually have a ghost author of a report who would not have the courage to stand up in court and defend it, the fact that there's no way to really determine the validity of the report that's presented to the courts, that is really very, very disturbing. And certainly, I think that that is totally unfair. I think that everybody should be outraged to realize that you have a court system made up of ghost affidavits.
Absolutely. And if we do anything, Dr. Stan, we should demand that there is legislation that states that anyone that has any undue influence on a report, especially in making recommendations, that they should be compelled to appear in court and to represent it and allow that poor social worker to recuse themselves and not use them as a human shield. Because essentially that's what they're doing. They're using these poor social workers as human shields. And each time it happens, that social worker is having their spirit amputated, becoming absolutely dispirited and developing all kinds of issues themselves. I've seen my colleagues be ravaged with something that we refer to as vicarious traumatization, indirect trauma. I've seen social workers develop depression, anxiety disorders, post-traumatic stress disorders. It's very common for social workers to have strokes, heart attacks. I know of two that have died by a heart attack, and miscarriages are at incredible numbers among our social work force. So we don't have a healthy social work force so that to make sure that our CPS agencies can be viable, can provide the services that our kids and communities need. So the ghost authoring, the human shielding, all these issues need to be addressed before we can begin to have the kind of CPS agencies that our communities deserve.
I certainly concur. Now, what sort of response are you getting from your book? Basically, of course, books are a wonderful way to get information out, but you've got to be able to get the facts out by one means or another. Otherwise, people never hear of your book. And basically, of course, I have the advantage of when I write a book, why I have my own radio programs, and we push these, and we have several books that have had rather good and wide distribution. But how are you getting your book out? I know you came to Santa Cruz, and you gave a talk here, and I was just so sorry that I didn't get a chance to come to hear you, but I do 5 hours of talk radio a day, 5 days a week, and so we don't have time to get to many of the local presentations, if we wish we did. But how are you getting your information out, and really how widely is the book getting read, and what impact is it having? Because I think the information you've told me so far I agree with totally, but how do we get the American people to understand what I think is really a subversive element where you actually are encouraging ghostwriters to write reports based not upon fact but upon supposition, and in the process they could very well destroy the life and the future of a child. How are you getting the information out?
I am making myself available for anyone that would like to talk and discuss and to hear about this information. I've been invited to several venues. Yours is the third radio show that I've appeared on, and I'm going to keep doing that. Wherever I'm asked, anybody that would like to discuss and hear about this issue, I'm trying to make myself available. I recently retired so that I could simply push this message of reform to get this information out, because I feel so passionately about this information and about this issue. So if anybody would like information or the book or would like to have me come and speak or just discuss this issue, I am certainly open. And if they purchase the book, they can get a hold of me through my publisher. Or I'm okay giving out my email address if that's okay with you, Dr. Stan.
I'm more than happy to have you do it because I want your message out. And I'm just sorry we haven't covered it in so many years. How can people reach you by email? And incidentally, if you're out in the listening audience, I have a question or comment for our guest. His name is Jerry Dominguez. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Jerry, how can people get in touch with you by email?
They can get in touch with me through the following email. J-E-R-R-Y, D as in David, O as in Oscar, M as in Mary, the number 8 at gmail.com. And I would be happy to discuss this issue with anyone, even if you disagree with parts of it or disagree with all of it. I'm open to discussing this because we need to have debate on this issue so that we can talk about it and bring it out in the open. One of the biggest problems we're having, Dr. Stan, is the lack of transparency and accountability with this issue. There is a shroud of secrecy around all these systemic obstacles and failures and problems. There isn't anyone in the agency that I've been able to find that can volunteer to talk about this or that's open to self-evaluation. So it really is going to take individuals outside the system that are willing to step forward, talk about this, and discuss this delicate, complicated issue so we can get to the bottom of it.
Well, our producer says you've got to repeat your email twice. So go ahead and repeat your email twice so people can get that down. And if you're out there in the listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. This is simply one of a myriad of important issues, but it is vitally important. How can people get in touch with you again by email?
The email again is jerrydom as in Mary, the number 8, at gmail.com.
All right. One more time.
jerryd as in David, O as in Oscar, M as in Mary, the number 8, at gmail.com.
domain8@gmail.com. Okay, fine. And basically, of course, how long has your book been out, and how long have you already been on this campaign to try to get the American people to understand what is happening to this unfortunate element in our society? Many of them are quite poor. Many of them do not have the finances, and yet they love their children, and their children are being taken away from them many times, never to be seen again, adopted out. How often do you think these children are adopted? When there is a bond between the parent and the child, and what damage does that do to that child for the rest of their life when they've been adopted out again over the objection of the parent and the child?
It's a tragic story, and we're seeing it happen over and over again. And we need to find the voices out there in our communities, out there in our politicians and the leaders in our communities, to step forward and say, we need to take a look at this issue. We need to make sure that we're not making the wrong call, the wrong decision, that are doing just the opposite of what the agencies were designed to do. We're also putting kids at risk if we're giving the message to our communities that they can't trust CPS, because we need to be able to trust CPS. Because when we don't trust them, that's going to be one phone call that doesn't come across, that needs to come across to keep a child safe. So this is a serious issue across the board for a multitude of reasons. And I'm hoping that we have the kind of interest and motivation to start to look at this issue so that we can correct these systemic failures. Because if we don't, we're going to continue to see the devastation in ways that does undermine our communities, our families, and the fabric of our society when we break down the family in a way that's so egregious and so absolutely devastating.
Well, now, basically, what's happening across the country? We've mentioned what's happening in Northern California. We've mentioned what's happening in Los Angeles. But what's happening in our other major cities, Chicago, New York, certainly San Francisco? Is this a real problem in the other major cities, Seattle here on the West Coast?
It's endemic, and we're seeing situations, and we're seeing different jurisdictions come under review for the issues that I'm talking about. And they're usually tasked with the responsibility of appointing some kind of commission to take a look at their jurisdictions and their agencies to find out why these things are going on. Sadly, as in the case of Los Angeles County, which just underwent a year-long review by a self-appointed Blue Ribbon Commission, we find that after a year and after $1 million, we simply have a group of Board of Supervisors that disagrees with the findings after a year and $1 million. And the commission basically declared that after a year review that the system needs to be completely overhauled, that it's a state of emergency, that children are more unsafe now given the way the system has been and the way the system is. And that's what they decided just a month ago, Dr. Stan, after a year.
No, was that the Board of Supervisors? Was this the Independent Commission?
It was the Board of Supervisors that appointed a Blue Ribbon Commission.
And basically, of course, we don't hear about this. This information is blocked off by the controlled media, in my estimation. We should be hearing about this all across America. I mean, I certainly spend a great deal of time on the Internet every day. And I hadn't even thought of this until I heard that you were giving your speech and your talk and asked if we could get you onto our program. This is a very real problem. And here it is, Los Angeles has come up with a report saying that the whole system needs to be gone over, and not a word in the controlled media. Go right ahead.
This is an incredible situation, and I was very disheartened to find out that when they appointed the members of the Blue Ribbon Commission for Los Angeles County, that they didn't have one social worker on the Blue Ribbon Commission. They didn't have one person that actually did the work in the last 20 years. And it doesn't. I'm not saying that the people they had on the panel weren't good people and probably people that contributed mightily in their individual profession, but the fact that they wouldn't have even one social worker that could provide the kind of information and insight about what goes on in the field and the offices and with the families is really disturbing and puzzling. And even though the Blue Ribbon Commission came out with the finding that the system absolutely needs to be overhauled, they didn't address the issues of ghost authors. They didn't address the issues of human shielding. They didn't address the issues of how unfair the legal system is with our families. And that's very disturbing and disconcerting after spending $1 million and investing a year of taxpayer time and money.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is simply one of a myriad of very real problems, but they need to be addressed. If there's going to be any hope at all of trying to return us to some sort of a stable society, undermine the family, you undermine us as society. And they're doing a great job of that. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson
homeschool program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
It's an important subject. Bye-bye. God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope, of course, you enjoyed our conversation with Jerry Dominguez. And basically, this is an important issue, and we haven't discussed this in many years. But I think we're going to do a series of talks on this. I think it's vitally important that you understand and you help us get this information out to others. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out there across America that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And, of course, our job is to try not only to convince you that the media is controlled by six major corporations, and that, of course, is certainly all outlined in a wonderful book we carry called The New Media Monopoly by Professor Ben Bagdikian, a liberal college professor from Berkeley who spent 30 years studying the media and how it's controlled. But, of course, although it's an excellent book, as with so many, he thinks that the right wing controls the media, just as the people on the right think that the left wing controls the media, without understanding the brotherhood. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to understand that there really are secret organizations, not one, but a plethora of them. But they're joined together not simply by ideological and cultural ideas, but by spiritual ideas. And their goal is to bring about a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and a one-world religion, and to destroy Christianity and morality and the family and everything good and worthwhile and noble in the world today. And this is only a very, very small component of our society. But they dominate it because they control the media, and they control the banking, and they control the corporations. And they are the raisers, certainly, in the joint chiefs of staff. And they certainly have their people planted in our churches, our educational system, and as a result, the average individual really doesn't understand what's going on, and our job is to try to get people to think, to try to get them to evaluate what's going on, and hopefully to join us in this epic struggle, and to understand this is a spiritual battle. And if you're looking at it purely from an ideological point of view, you're going to miss out. There really is a supernatural component to what's going on in the world today. Either the Bible is relevant or it's an interesting book. Either there suddenly are supernatural forces in the world, or everything is suddenly that can be explained on a logical point of view. And if you can explain the things that are going on today, all of them on a logical point of view, so many of them just don't make sense. For instance, the fact that supposedly we're involved in this conflict over there in the Ukraine. Ladies and gentlemen, Putin has worked with our leaders going back, for the last 30 years. We financed the Nazis. We financed the communists. We financed the Islamic terrorist movement. But they can't let the American people understand that. There is really a subversive, truly demonic group working at the highest level of our government today. And you have to help us get the information out about this. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And pull down the four CD sets. And you want to know how Hitler escaped? Why get the four CD set? Did Hitler escape? You want to know how we helped the Nazis? Hundreds of thousands of Nazis escaped to South America and elsewhere throughout the world. That's covered in the wonderful book, America's Nazi Secret, written by a man with a security clearance three levels above top secret, and everything was done to suppress that book, but it is available. America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, and our four CD set, the War Against the Jews. The War Against the Jews. The information's there. You need to get it. Then you need to tell anything I've done, you can copy and help us get it out. Quite frankly, we do need your financial support so we can maintain our network of the stations across America every evening and every afternoon and every morning as well. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And we truly are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. We'll be back in just a moment with William Grieg. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and as you may suspect, for the next hour, they're going to be views of our good friend William Grieg. William, thank you very much for being with us, and what are we going to be talking about this evening?
Dr. Stan, it's always a blessing with you, and I think that we're going to have to discuss the ongoing and increasingly obvious effort to pit Americans against each other on the basis of race and ethnicity. We've talked about that before, but it's becoming patently obvious that this long-term strategy, this has been something which has been applied by revolutionaries for a century or longer, since before the war between the states, and it's something obviously that became very acute during the period called Reconstruction, the military occupation of the reconquered South. This long-term strategy is coming to fruition now, and it's something that's being used very obviously as a stalking horse for collectivist revolution that would be indifferent to matters of race, ethnicity, melanin content, however you want to characterize the phenotypical distinctions, the visible distinctions that exist among Americans. That is, there's a huge article. I don't know if article is the right word to describe this bloated harangue. It occupies about 60 pages of text, at least the online version in the Atlantic magazine occupies about 60 pages. It would be a monograph or a book if it were edited together a little bit more carefully by an author, and I'm probably going to butcher the name. I believe it's Ta-Nehisi Coates. I believe is the name of the author. He's somebody I've followed as a blogger on the Atlantic website, and it's called The Case for Reparations. What he's talking about is some kind of financial or economic payment for slavery and Jim Crow and segregation. on the assumption that every living American of African ancestry, black African ancestry, has been indelibly and ineffaceably tainted by this so-called legacy of slavery and racism, institutionalized racism, and that every American of white ancestry is in some sense a perpetrator or beneficiary of slavery. And this is sort of an overt recapitulation of the idea encoded in this really obnoxious expression we're hearing about, which is check your privilege. That's something which has become the rage this year on college campuses, particularly elite schools such as Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Ivy League schools, similar schools on the West Coast, where if you're a citizen, if you're a student, an undergraduate student usually, of white European ancestry, you're male, then you don't have the right to take part in certain discussions unless you're willing to accept the proposition that you're part of the oppressor class. And you cannot understand the way the world looks from the point of view of those who are part of the designated victim of society. And so what you have to do is you have to start with a handicap. You have to accept the idea that in any conversation, you have to do with public policy, whether you're talking about economics or foreign policy, whether you're talking about education. Anytime you're talking about a subject that involves in some way the distribution of material benefits to society, you have to accept the idea that you are ineradicably guilty. You've been born with the inherited guilt of what your ancestors allegedly did simply by virtue of your ethnicity. And so what Mr. Coates is saying is that we need to have a huge system designed to destroy the last vestiges of what he calls white male privilege. And by lucky hap, or perhaps by ideological design, the program he's talking about is very much of a piece with the classic Marxist formula of a vanguard being appointed to redistribute the wealth according to some formula that only enlightened people like they would understand.
And of course, the trouble is that so the redistribution of wealth doesn't work. It doesn't work in communist Russia. It doesn't work in socialist countries. The private enterprise is the thing that really works and produces prosperity for everyone, white and black. We'll be back in a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is pointing out that certainly the Marxists are saying, look, we've got to change the structure of a society. We have to have equality. We had an equal distribution of goods. Ladies and gentlemen, the Pope of the Catholic Church recently said, we should distribute the wealth of the world, redistribute the wealth of the world because there are people living in poverty. Now, certainly the Vatican, some people say it has the largest gold supplies in the world. Some people say it has the second or third largest of gold supplies in the world. Certainly, it is one of the three or four most wealthy organizations of the world. And the Pope really is all in favor of redistribution of wealth. But it's your wealth, not our wealth. And basically, there are powerful spiritual forces that involve the Catholic Church and even the Protestant Church that are working against the best interests and what will really be successful. And that is the free enterprise system where you limit the power of government and you give free people the opportunity to actually compete and to produce. And that is where prosperity comes from. William, you pick up the idea and the thoughts.
The Pontiff was talking about the idea that there is something called just redistribution by government of wealth, on the assumption, once again, that somebody would have all but infallible insight into the just and appropriate allocation of resources, rather than the marketplace, which is what happens when people freely collaborate, freely cooperate in ways that are mutually beneficial. And so you start with the assumption that there always has to be this relationship of hostility, that somebody prospers in exact proportion to the misery of somebody else, which is historically not the case. You point out, Dr. Stan, when you appoint somebody and assign to them the supposedly omnipotent role of deciding who gets what, then what happens is everybody but the entrenched elite suffers equally. And so you have a fairly even-handed distribution of misery and scarcity among those who are ruled, and those who are part of the nomenclatura or the ruling elite tend to live lifestyles of such extravagant, opulent wealth that they make the oppressors that they replaced look like tigers in comparison. That's happened in Cuba, it happened in Soviet Russia. It's happened everywhere that this intellectual blight called collectivism has been allowed to fester and take over. And this is the form that's being urged upon us right now in the guise of what they call income equality, or now it's taken on an overtly racial tone. We're talking once again about this decades-old campaign for reparations. And it's amazing to me to see the audacity of this being promoted right now. We have, of course, a second-term president of the United States who is of African ancestry, the first African-American president. And he's somebody who was elected twice by pretty sizable majority. Of course, that assumes that the electoral system is reasonably honest, that there's a reasonable degree of integrity in the system. I'll stipulate to that for the purposes of this discussion, although I think that there's ample cause to dispute that. But in any case, you've got somebody as the most powerful official on the face of the earth who's an African-American, to use the now standard nomenclature. I don't think that's a particularly useful term, but it happens to be Akharan, so I'll use it once again. And he's, of course, staffed his administration with other prominent officials of the same background, including Eric Holder, who recently had caused a lament that he was being terribly persecuted by other people because he's being criticized in a way that his white Euro-American predecessors have not been criticized, which, of course, is not a bill. There's plenty of examples of attorneys general who have been on the receiving end of a few criticism for offenses that were comparable to Eric Holder's or perhaps even more venial than his. I mean, Fast and Furious scandal is what led to Mr. Holder being held in criminal contempt of Congress, something that he should take seriously. He doesn't, because he's himself somehow swaddled the privilege that doesn't make him accountable to Congress for such matters. But we're living in a situation now where every criticism of officials such as Mr. Obama and Mr. Holder is being filtered through the prism of race. And the constant refrain we're hearing now into the second term of Mr. Obama and his clack is that any criticism of Obama has to have a racial tint to it, because there's no other reason to criticize him. He's so manifestly competent, and his policies are so obviously correct, according to the revolutionary left, progressive left. That, of course, is not true either. In terms of his policies, I've contended, and I will contend still, that he represents a continuation of the policies of his predecessor and amplification of some of the worst of them. And I don't know why it is that people who are properly alarmed, who are a progressive then, over George W. Bush's accumulation and exercise of dictatorial power as a president, as a short-term elected dictator, why they don't apply the same metric in assessing what Mr. Obama does when he's, among other things, killing with giddy abandon people of color overseas by drone strikes and incarcerating nonviolent offenders on a record basis here for nonviolent offenses, drug offenses, and such like. And Eric Holder has been prosecuting the so-called war on drugs with singular zeal, and that's resulted in a larger prison population, if you will, a larger enslaved population of Americans of African ancestry now than we had under Jim Crow or under slavery, under chattel slavery back when that abominable institution was part of our culture. And so these people are immunized from criticism on the basis of their melanin content. But at the same time, we have people overtly thumping the tubs down for racial reparations. And that sort of works out of the same mindset that we got a glimpse of when Mr. Obama was saying to small businessmen, you didn't fake that, you didn't build that. You're talking about the businesses they had created through their own industry and thrift and exertion. You didn't build that, supposedly. Ah, but you did supposedly inherit something that you had nothing to do with. You know, your distant ancestors may have had some role in benefiting or in promoting or in being part of the system of chattel slavery. And even those whose ancestors were part of a war that was described conventionally as a struggle to free people who were held in bondage, that wasn't the reason why we had the war between the states. It became the stated rationale for it, but that was not the cause of the conflict, at least from the perspective of the Lincoln administration. There were people in the South, yes, who wanted to fight in defense of chattel slavery. There are more people in the South, however, who wanted to fight to expel people from a hostile power that invaded their homeland. But on the northern part of the equation, the initial cause of the war was essentially Lincoln's determination to collect the tariff, and he was willing to allow slavery to continue undisturbed and to make it perpetual by constitutional amendment if that would be necessary in order to retain the integrity of a corporatist union where the tariff would be collected and other federal policies would be dutifully enforced within the South. He was willing to countenance the perpetual bondage of African slaves, people who come here forcibly from Africa and have been treated as if they could be owned by other human beings. What a bizarre, repulsive concept that is, that one human being could own another. But he was willing to put up with that in order to maintain the political geography of the time.
And I think most people have forgotten the Emancipation Proclamation, which, of course, many people look upon the a justification for the war, really didn't come about until 1963. Okay. They needed a justification for the war, and they came up with slavery. And basically, they've lied to the American people ever since then. The Emancipation Proclamation was not announced until 1963, where, of course, they freed the slaves, certainly in the South, where they had no authority, and they kept slavery in place in the North where they could have changed it, but they didn't. The ultimate in hypocrisy and the fact that most people do not understand the background of the Civil War is simply just another example of the degree of control that exists today over the reality of the American people. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The thing that I find really interesting about that issue, the Emancipation Proclamation, is that Lincoln unemancipated slaves who had been freed by General Fremont and other generals under his command in border states, Kentucky, I think in Maryland as well. There were slaves who were remanded to the custody of their so-called owners. I hate using that expression because it repels me down to my marrow and deeper to endorse even a conceptual way the proposition that one human being can claim ownership over another. But Lincoln unemancipated those slaves, and he enforced the Fugitive Slave Law for the first 2.5 years of his administration. They were still sending U.S. Marshals throughout the North in order to identify people who had escaped from a condition of involuntary servitude and to deliver them into the hands of their Northern slaveholding so-called owners. If they were loyal to the Union, the slaveholders, the people who claimed ownership of other human beings, then they could expect and anticipate that federal marshals would track down the people that escaped from their service and turn them back to their custody. And usually there were whipped and left worse with the wear. This was going on under the administration of the supposed Great Emancipator until about 1863. And as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, the Emancipation Proclamation only applied to those areas where the federal government's writ did not run. They didn't emancipate a single slave through the Emancipation Proclamation. It wasn't until after Appomattox and after the 13th Amendment was passed. It wasn't the original 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment that Lincoln wanted would have made slavery perpetual in order to bring about the reconstitution of the Union. But after the 13th Amendment was passed and following Reconstruction, you had an end to the overt practice of chattel slavery, but this was replaced very quickly with a system of penal enactments that were part of Jim Crow, where many of the same slaves who had been owned, quote-unquote, by slave owners, slaveholders in the South, found themselves being dragooned by law enforcement officers and imprisoned for very trivial reasons, and then forced to provide service to politically connected businesses that had patrons of the North. It's the same kind of system that existed before slavery. It was called something else, and something similar happens today as well. If you take a look at the way that the prison and parole system operates and the way that you have nonviolent offenders in many of these blighted inner-city communities where the family has been destroyed by the welfare state and social pathologies have been cultivated, you have a very similar system where people are run through prisons and jails, put on probation and parole. And they often end up working in prison labor to do manufacturing and to do service on behalf of politically connected corporations. Even today, it's the same system. There's a black scholar who just published a book talking about the fact that today, if you take a look at the prison system, there are more black men enslaved than there were in the antebellum South. And you don't hear the reparations advocates talking about the fact that one of the best things they could do in order to repair the damage done to black American population, subpopulation, would be to reconfigure this whole criminal justice system that is replete with incentive to put black men and young black men, particularly, into prison and turn them into something equivalent to chattel slave.
And basically, of course, almost 44% of the people in federal prisons today are black. Do you think that happens just by accident, ladies and gentlemen? Almost 44%, but nobody talks about that.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're simply talking about certainly the impact of Christianity on the what a professional basketball player, William Durant, it just names as one. But basically, we have certainly Christians in every field of life who certainly have been indoctrinated, who have been brought into, who actually have accepted the message of Christianity, and it's transformed their lives. And they can, of course, when they're in a prominent position in sports, they can actually, of course, express this and begin having at least some impact on the former Christian America. We are not a Christian nation. We are a post-Christian nation, but it's time we started taking America back. William, pick up the story.
Yeah, and I think that it's wonderful when you see somebody like Kevin Durant, he's the reigning MVP of the National Basketball Association, when he gives a speech in which he talks about everybody but himself and goes out of his way to commend his teammates, but he spent a couple of minutes speaking very affectingly about his mother and about the fact that she would go to bed hungry so that he and his brother would be able to have something to eat, and how they thought that they had made it when they had finally had an apartment of their own. And she would get him up in the morning and force him to exercise, to run hill sprints and do push-ups and do all these things that he didn't want to do when he discovered basketball. The point is, she was instilling in him habits of discipline and treating him as a potential growing adult, helping him to understand how to set goals, follow them. Those are all very useful things. And he's a very self-contained individual, lives within his means and gives a lot to charity, although he doesn't, of course, do this in front of people. He does what he can to help people without advertising to the world because, of course, as Jesus said, if you do that, you have your reward now. And he's a wonderful example for kids to follow. And there are more than a few people who meet that description in the NBA. My problem here is that if you take a look at what happened with the Donald Sterling episode, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers who's being forced to sell his team because in a private conversation that was apparently illegally recorded, he said some things that were regarded to be racially inflammatory. You see how suddenly most of these people who are multimillionaires, who work very hard doing something of marginal social utility, suddenly they were speaking as if they were being personally victimized and in some sense feeling the burden of their slave ancestors, because this man said a few things that were untoward and unsavory in a private conversation. I don't know where this sense of exceptional vulnerability and victimhood comes from. And now we have Mark Cuban, who's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, a very successful businessman, who gave a speech to a meeting of fellow owners a couple of days ago in which he said, listen, I will be candid. If I'm walking down the street and I see a young black man wearing a hoodie approach me, I will cross the street and walk on the other side, because my perception is that that young man might be dangerous to me. And for saying this, he's being treated like a thought criminal. He's being summoned to make some public act of self-abnegation to prostrate himself before Oprah or before Anderson Cooper or some of the designated pontiff of political correctness so that he can receive absolution. And you're dealing in the NBA with a business here. And even somebody like Donald Sterling, let's assume that Mr. Sterling is the execrable racist that everybody assumes him to be. In spite of that fact, he's made millionaires out of young black men. He's paid them very well. He's found talented, self-motivated, entrepreneurial players, and he's rewarded them according to their skills and their performance in a very competitive environment. So the logic of the free market here is something that will be a very swift corrosive on all these embedded prejudices if it's allowed to work. That's the real lesson of what happened here. But what we're being told is that because in some fleeting fugitive moment, he might have expressed a few things that strike people as offensive, that as long as people are allowed to think such unsanctioned thoughts or give voice to such unapproved opinions, that these people who are multimillionaires are oppressed and society at large is injured somehow. The same thing happened with Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban was not talking about the supposed virtues of discriminating in terms of hiring or in terms of extending business opportunities. He was saying that on a personal level, that he practices a sort of coarse a priori assessment of risk based on factors that, if you take a look at crime reports, would suggest that you would be in more danger or more potential danger if you're dealing with a young black man who's accoutred in a certain way in a certain environment. And you're not allowed to take those facts into consideration when you're assessing your own personal sense of risk, because you'd be acting on attitudes that the state has decreed to be impermissible. So there's this constant effort on the part of our would-be rulers to cultivate racial enmity and antagonism so that eventually they'll harvest conflict. And that, of course, brings in its wake a bumper crop of tyranny. I think that's what happened with them. I think that's what's happening right now.
I certainly concur. Go right ahead.
Yeah, what I'm hoping is that people will be a little bit too canny to fall for it this time. I'm guardedly optimistic on that front, because at least people are willing to talk about these subjects in ways that suggest that we've not been fully assimilated into collectivism.
All right, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with William Grieg right here at Radio Liberty.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Back to Logan. Well, wait a minute, go right ahead, because I certainly share your concern. We're heading into some very, very difficult financial times. And the solution to this is not the Marxist concept of more government control. It is to limit the power of government so men could be free and productive. William, go right ahead.
I need to point out that this campaign for reparations, once again, I've mentioned that it's a quarter of a century old. The last time that this really started to get traction was about 15 years ago, when you saw Randall Robinson, I believe his name is Randall Robinson, the former head of the anti-apartheid movement, published a book called The Debt. And that was probably the most concise and most digestible version of the case for reparations before this article by Coates in The Atlantic came out. Once again, I'm pretty sure he's going to spin this off into a book of some sort, just to give some sort of sense of what Mr. Coates' argument is. He talks not only about chattel slavery and about Jim Crow and about some of the, I guess you could even call it petty apartheid that existed in the American South. It wasn't just in the South. For heaven's sake, people don't believe that this was a neat geographic dichotomy between the enlightened residents of the northern states, the benighted denizens south of the Mason-Dixon line. Because historically, you had in the northern states a number of large institutions, Lehman Brothers, for instance, the now defunct financial house. They were very deeply involved in the cynical exercise called the triangle trade. They profited on it tremendously. They helped finance it. They profited off the sale of human beings into bondage. There were many newspapers, the Hartford Courant in the Northeast. Of course, everybody's familiar with the very elevated progressive views of the Hartford Courant in Hartford, Connecticut. It turns out that they've been schlepping for reparations for slavery, but if you take a look at their first two or three decades of operation, particularly in the 1830s and 1840s, one of their chief sources of revenue as a newspaper back in the 1830s, 1840s, and 1850s consisted of classified advertisements that were paid for by so-called slave owners who were trying to track down their runaway so-called property. The classified advertisement section of the Hartford Courant, these were paid advertisements. This is one of the revenue streams. The classified ad section often consisted of appeals to marshals and to bounty hunters to try to track down these people who fled for bondage. This is, of course, a blue blood newspaper that is part of the liberal Eastern Seaboard media elite. So you have, of course, plenty of guilt to go around geographically here. Don't think that this is all just what the South was doing wrong, because the South was by no means the only guilty party, and you can't characterize the entire South that way. I advert to what Edmund Burke said. He said, I can't drop an indictment against an entire nation. I'm not going to drop an indictment against an entire region, whether you're talking about the North or the South. But this idea of reparations that's been resurrected now by the Atlantic magazine is something that's been kicking around for a century or so. And I want to emphasize again that of the 310 million or so Americans who live today, not a single one of us has ever owned a chattel slave or been a chattel slave, unless you're talking about a handful of people who recently arrived from Sudan or some other African nation where this practice still persists. In spite of all these facts, they are very important considerations that play no role at all in the rhetorical strategies the people were schlepping on behalf of reparations. And Congressman Conyers, once again, has been promoting this for a quarter of a century. It would be one of God's little jokes, I suppose, if he ended up being disqualified from the ballot this year. Back in 1999, there was an effort to create something they called a dream team of litigators who were skilled in the arts of class action litigation. And Mr. Coates talks about this in his Atlantic Monthly article. He talks about redlining, which was the practice, supposedly, of withholding credit for mortgage loans to historically black neighborhoods as a way of denying homeownership to people who were blacks, black Americans, who were middle class, upper middle class, who might otherwise have qualified. The thing is, he flips that narrative, and then he talks about the predatory lending to less than creditworthy people during the housing bubble. In other words, it's redlining if they didn't get mortgage loans, but it's predatory subprime lending when they did get mortgage loans. And so he's trying to say that somehow, whether you do it or you don't do it, the motivation is racist, when actually the motivation has to do with the machinations of high finance. That's equal opportunity predator in terms of race, creed, color, or whatnot. They really don't care about melanin content. The people who are running the criminal industry called banking, they don't particularly care if they're dealing with whites or blacks or Latinos or Hispanics or American Indians or Asians or people of any provenance. They're equal opportunity predators and con men. Way back in 1999, however, NCOBRA, that's the national, once again, the National Coalition for Blacks for Reparations, they were promoting a very similar theme 15 years ago. And you've got another 15 years of separation here from the time when there was chattel slavery or when people were actually living under Jim Crow. And so that generation, the generation that dealt with actual discrimination in the 50s and 60s, there's no point in denying that it existed. It obviously existed. It was a horrible thing. It was perpetuated by government policy. That's the important part of the discussion. But the people who suffered, who actually suffered those discriminatory policies now, are in their 80s and 90s. So why is this discussion coming up now when you're dealing with people like Mr. Coates, who's, I believe, in his 40s, and was the beneficiary of, I don't know if beneficiary is the right word, he's the beneficiary of, in terms of prestige, of an elite education that was largely paid for by student loans and grants that were his on the basis of affirmative action. I mean, he qualified for race-specific remedies. Why are these things being brought up now? You've got a black president, you've got a black attorney general, you've got more millionaires among the black subpopulation now than ever before in the history of our country, albeit many of them in entertainment and sports. Why are these issues being brought up now? I suspect it's because there's a deliberate effort to incite and to capitalize on racial hostility and racial animosity. It's not just the issue of reparations, but one of my favorite little crotchets, if you will, one of the things that really bothers is this insistence on the part of Congress in getting involved in purely symbolic issues having to do with professional sports. This is a problem because the professional sports leagues are given an exemption from antitrust laws, so to some extent they could be seen as privileged constituents and beneficiaries of government policy. But that's one of the reasons why the NBA, for instance, is slapping down Mr. Sterling as if he'd committed an offense against public policy. It's because they are given this antitrust exemption. They're the only game in town, and there's no competition allowed with the major sports leagues unless Congress acts to permit them to. Just in the last couple of days, Congress has been taking up the immensely relevant and world historical subject of the name of the NFL franchise in Washington, which right now is called the Washington Redskins, which people like to pretend is a term of art that is offensive to American Indians. As I pointed out, Dr. Stan, I'm an American Indian. I don't know exactly how much, but no less than one quarter Cherokee, which means that if I can prove my pedigree, I could actually become a member of the Cherokee Nation and presumably reap some kind of benefits thereby. But the Cherokees were treated horribly during the early part of the 19th century in that era called the Trail of Tears under Andrew Jackson. They were uprooted from their homeland that had been promised to them in solemn treaty in Georgia and Florida. And then they were sent to Oklahoma, which was the American Siberia at the time. Now, this was done in explicit and acknowledged violation of treaty by Andrew Jackson in defiance of two Supreme Court decisions by Chief Justice Marshall. Chief Justice Marshall has made an interesting ruling that Jackson now let us see him enforce it. And most people treat that quote as an admirable expression of defiance for an overreaching Supreme Court. That's not what it was. That was the announced intention of the President of the United States to steal the property of a group of people who owned that property legally in defiance of a law, of treaty, and of a Supreme Court ruling. So there's a grievance there, of course, that is of some moment. And as somebody of Cherokee ancestry, I've studied the Trail of Tears. I've tried to apply the lessons of that horrible period from that period to what's going on now with similar policies that I see being undertaken by the government that impudently rules us. The thing is, what's going on now with the controversy over the Redskins, the tea title in Washington, is an effort by race hustlers to stir up another controversy. And of course, Congress is all over this. You know, they've taken how many years to deal with the Benghazi ugliness? They've taken how many years to deal with Fast and Furious? You've got a huge and metastasizing problem here with Congress's inability to deal with the budget responsibly. These things, of course, can be shunted aside so that they can address the subject of what we're going to call or what will be the name of the Washington NFL franchise. This whole issue is being driven by a really squalid personality by the name of Ray Halperter, who's the head of the New York Oneida Nation. And he was installed in that position by Bruce Babbitt as the Secretary of the Interior, and thus the head of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, back in 1993 or 1994. Halperter is a corrupt little puke. And forgive me for being so vulgar. I spent some time on the Oneida tribal territory back in 1999 and saw the way he was treating the people he's ruling. It's just astonishing. These people live in the type of poverty you would not expect to see in North America. It reminded me of things that I've seen from certain parts of the Middle East or Haiti, the way these people were being forced to live. While this federally installed head of the Oneida Nation was working to build a casino for the purpose of not only enriching himself, but enriching the Democratic Party. Nobody in the United leadership wanted this casino. It was against the tribal law to encourage gambling. So he was removed. He was impeached and removed from office and then reimposed upon them by the Interior Department of the United States, by Bruce Babbitt, so that he could be kicking back some of the profits from this casino into the coffers of the Democratic National Committee. Now, that's his background. And suddenly, over the last couple of years, he's emerged as the champion of beating back this historic injustice here of calling the Washington football team the Washington Redskins, pretending that this is a matter of great insult, offense to people, you know, not the fact that you've got American Indians living in third world or sub-third world poverty in upstate New York, or, of course, in the historic lands of the Midwest. The really terrible thing is that there's a Washington football team that is violating the canons of political correctness. Now, that type of pettiness, that type of cynicism is what drives a lot of these issues. It's something that's easily inflamed. There is, of course, the implicit potential, the latent potential for racial conflict in the country is variegated in the United States, given the fact that we draw from many nations. And you have sort of a lumpy and not smoothly assimilated population. These are all potential sources of friction and conflict. That's what collectivists like to find and exploit. You know, any place where there's a potential for friction, they'll be there trying their best to take advantage of it, hoping that they can ignite a spark that they can coax into a rampaging social bonfire. And I suspect that's what's going to be happening over the next several months leading into the midterm elections. We already know that the Democratic Party is going to be using whatever means it can conjure to promote this idea that people who oppose the agenda of the incumbent administration are doing so for racial motives. There are people on all sides of the political spectrum who play the same game. But behind all this, Dr. Stan, once again, is this desire to create conditions for a wholesale, undisguised collectivist reign here, where all these issues will be subsumed into the great effort to divide our whole society between oppressors and oppressed so that our needs could be administered by people in this unaccountable vanguard who know so much better than we do how wealth should be distributed and how society should be managed. And I hope that people don't fall for this. I mean, historically, Americans have had a great deal of resistance, a certain native resistance immunity to this. But once we were looking at a completely different culture today than the one that existed even 20 or 25 years ago, you know, the way that primary education, the secondary education has been used to instill in these young and eager minds an updated sort of post-MTV concept of collectivism. And that's what Common Core is all about, ultimately, to try to use government education to wipe out the last vestiges of individualism in our society. So this is something that we have to labor to expose with all diligence. We have to be teaching correct principles. We have to be teaching the concepts of principled individualism. It's all rooted in the golden rule. I mean, ultimately, our choices are either the golden rule or the iron fist. You know, we can choose Lenin or we can choose Christ. And whether you, like I do, believe the divinity of Christ, you have to accept the idea. If you're a decent person, the golden rule is the basis of any society worthy of the name. And
I agree with you totally, and I think that we must understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. We're losing it because most people don't understand the spiritual component. They just look at it from a political and ideological point of view. But go right ahead with him.
Yeah, they don't understand that there is more to man than matter in motion, and that if you believe that man is only matter in motion, if you believe that there are ultimately no good and no bad principles, but right and wrong are simply social artifacts, then you'll see nothing at all wrong with the idea that certain people just have the natural right and the moral privilege of consuming others. Now, that's where Lenin got his concept of who does what to whom. And moral people understand that it is the what that is all important, that what we do is what defines us, and whether it's morally correct or not, that right and wrong are absolute. There's objective evil, there's objective good. And the most important thing that we can do is to come to understand what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil, and to teach people to choose to do the right. Now, we cannot force people to believe in right or wrong, because we don't need to. These things are written on our hearts. These are part of our moral operating system. I think it was Samuel Johnson, who said that mankind needs more frequently to be reminded than instructed. You know, these things are part of how we're configured to work, you know, how our moral compass is set. And so we simply have to articulate what's right. We have to stand in the truth, irrespective of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. It's going to become increasingly challenging today because there are gale force winds of foul opposition to try to extinguish what remains of our kind.
And they're certainly doing a good job of it. Of course, our guest is William Craig. And we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program. Go right ahead, William.
Well, it's always a struggle, and the struggle is becoming more acute. That we really have no choice but to engage with it. It's been forced on us. It's inevitable. These are the times in which we've chosen to live. There's a certain honor to it, I suppose.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment, and then we'll wrap up the program.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing?
Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
This is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is William Grigg. And an imparting thought before we let you go.
Well, I do think that we still are laboring beneath the cloud. It's no longer the size of a man's hand. It's larger than that, of some kind of a potentially apocalyptic conflict. And there are certain prophetic resonances in this as well. And I'm haunted by the insight that we get from Jesus when he said of Judas, no offenses will come, but woe be to them by whom they come. We don't know the prophetic timetable. We don't know how the prophecy would unfold. All we can do is do what's right as we're given wisdom to understand what's right and wrong.
I agree. Well, thank you very much for being with us. And I'm going to ask my producer if she'll get our engineer out here, because we'll be wrapping up the program here very shortly. But thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. And this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We're really dependent upon those of you out there across the country. Listen to our program to help us as we, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, try to bring you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, to get people to understand that we are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And quite frankly, we do need your financial help so that we can certainly go ahead and they maintain our network of stations, and as you know, we're heard on state radio stations, AM stations, FM stations. We're heard certainly on shortwave. We're heard on the Internet. If you were to advertise with Radio Liberty, why, you would get almost 1,000 one-minute appearances across America, certainly on the Internet and all the other various outlets we have. And if you are in a position to outlook to advertise with it, we can certainly use your finances, because we want to maintain our outreach as long as we can, and we can't do it without you. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we certainly want to remind you, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then we have so many 4-CD sets and 4-tape sets on, whether it be on the Muslim Brotherhood, as the Islamic extremism, whether it be, did Hitler escape? I think this is vitally important that you understand that Adolf Hitler did not die in the bunker, as you've been told. In fact, most of what you've been told about what's going on in the world simply is not true. And basically, of course, you have to understand that the American and British intelligence services have spent a great deal of money helping, working right along with the Vatican, to helping about hundreds of thousands of Nazis escape to South America and elsewhere throughout the world. And if you haven't read John Loftus's wonderful book, America's Nazi Secret, or heard my interview with him, The War Against the Jews, that's a 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews, you need to get this information, and you need to help us get this information out across America. So all we can do, of course, is we're going to be closing the program down here in just a moment. But right now, certainly we hope that if you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, we hope you'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And whatever you can do, if you can join the Radio Liberty family, whatever you can do to help us financially, we'll certainly appreciate it so that we can maintain our network. And we want to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We do not have an independent organization behind us. We depend upon those of you who listen to our program to help us. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. And certainly, if you would like to advertise with us, give us a call. If you'd like to get our products, and we sell all sorts of products, but the money all goes into this common cause to maintain our network, and we are reaching people. And with your help, we'll continue doing that. But we'll be back here in just a moment. In a solemn prayer.